I'm going to pray. Lord God, we thank you, Father, for your mercy, Lord God, for your grace, Lord God, your divine favor, Lord God, that none of us here deserve, Lord God, but you have freely given because you are compassionate, loving God. No matter what the world would say, no matter what the devil would say, Lord God, we know that you are a loving and compassionate, giving God.
Yes, you are.
And we will never know the cost, Lord God, because you don't grumble and you don't complain. You just gave your life and you knew you were going to do it before you did it, or before you even created us, that you were going to have to suffer that cross, that shame.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you did it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you for that, Lord God. So right now, by faith in the mighty name of Jesus, we invite you to speak into our hearts, Lord God. As my brother said, Lord God, that you would not let us leave here changed, Lord God, but that you would expose things, Lord God, that you would encourage us, Lord God, that you would give us truth, Lord God, that we would leave here excited for you, Lord God. Rebuking even now the enemy, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You have no authority here. We are children of the Most High God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. We're going to read today in the book of Ephesians, but I want to recap a little bit last night. We read in the book of Judges about Jephthah, what a man of God. See, and that ties into the message today, because what was he? He was just a person like you and I. He was just living his life. And then they came to him and they said, hey, we need somebody to stand in the gap.
Hallelujah.
We need somebody to be a man of God, somebody that would pull on God's anointing, somebody that would have faith in God to bring deliverance to our people. And God did that to him, just like he's done it to us.
Amen.
See, every day he's crying out. There's a scripture. It says that the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro on the earth, looking for a man that he can show himself off mighty on behalf of. He's looking for somebody that will stand in the gap, somebody that will look around and see the state that this world is in. Not just the world. California, have you noticed California's kind of a wreck? Matter of fact, it seems like there's a cliff over there and they're trying to drive specifically over the cliff. There's another route they could be taking, but they say, no, that's too easy. Let's go over the cliff. Let's see if we can destroy it all and then rebuild it. Because, you know, we are made of money. We just borrow from China, right? That's all we got to do. We just borrow money from China, spend it foolishly, give it away. And we say, hey, man, what's wrong with this? I'll tell you what's wrong with it. That's man's wisdom. But God has another wisdom. It's the word of God. It's God himself. And he's looking for somebody. A man. I don't know if you know it, but the gospel has been given to men. He said he made Adam and he made Eve. And there's a difference. There's a purpose. But the God, and when they both ate from the fruit, guess what? Eve didn't suffer the consequence. The Eve wasn't in rebellion. It was Adam that was in rebellion, because Adam should have known better. The gospel has been given to us. And it's our mission and our charge to declare it. And the enemy doesn't want us to know that. As a matter of fact, I could raise my hand, and probably some of you, I've shucked it a few times. You know, I've ran from it. Okay, God, I know you're calling, but you know what? Sure, I don't know about that. But God will not stop. He will not quit. He's got a purpose, and he's called you and I for that purpose. And he, just like Jephthah, right? Praise God. He was just there being a man, didn't even know he was called of God. But when the occasion rose, he rose to the occasion and he took faith by the horns and he said, I'm going to stand in the gap.
Hallelujah.
You know, I was walking down last night. This was tripping me out a little bit. I don't know. Hopefully somebody else experienced this. But I was walking down there last night and I saw the bonfire going. And then I looked to the left and there's a bunch of shacks. And I looked to the right and there's a bunch of shacks. And I think, I couldn't help but think of when they were coming out of Exodus. And in the middle was the Ark of the Covenant. And all the way around the Ark of the Covenant, there was their tents, their shacks. That's where they were at living. And they were waiting for the Ark of the Covenant to get up and lead them out. See? And last night, we were camped just like they were in camp. We were all in camp, brothers in faith. And God has brought us here. And it's not by our purpose, it is His purpose. See, because like I said, we need men of faith. We don't need more churchgoers. And I say, praise God, go to church. But that's not what our call is. Our call isn't to be churchgoers. Our call is to be servants of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
And going to church is a big part of it. See, if we don't go to church, the church is going to fail. If we don't go to church, the church isn't going to have things done. We need things that we need to go to church to establish the church so that we can outreach the people to get them saved, and they can come to the church and they can be built up in their faith, and the church can grow and go out as the body of Christ that it is to conquer in these last days.
Amen.
You've heard it say, for such a time as this. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about, boy, I wish I was back in that day, and I wish I was back in that day. But God has called us to this day. This is our day. And one of the things he's given us faith. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for faith. And He's placed it in each and every one of us. And we all have it in here. And it's all different sizes. And it doesn't matter what size it is. What matters is that you recognize that it's faith. And it's a gift from God. And we can exercise it. And He's given us brothers to exercise it with. And sisters. I mean, they're a part of the body of Christ too. But we always got to remember that God has given us a call, a mission, a purpose. And we forget that sometimes. And we just turn it into, I'm just doing my duty. I'm just doing my duty. I'm doing this. That's fine. Praise God. Be faithful and do your duty. But do it in faith, knowing that, man, God has called me to this post. God has called me for this reason. God has called me and trusted me and put something in my hands.
In Jesus' name.
And I need to guard that and protect that and take that forth. Not in my own strength, because if it's in our own strength, we're going to fall. We're going to fail. We're going to mess up. It's got to be in His strength. Amen?
Amen?
So I want to look at a few promises from God in the book of Ephesians. And this is a very deep chapter. Lots of stuff in there. Way over my head. I'm not going to try to decipher it all. Ephesians 1 and chapter 2, if we get there, praise God. But I want to just bring out a couple things that I believe that the Lord has enlightened to me, showed me. You know, He pointed out to me, amen? So we're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. The first thing it says is Paul, an apostle. See, he declares, he's writing this pen as a letter, and he's declaring by whose authority. I am Paul, and they knew who he was. And he says, I am Paul, and my title, my clout, my authority is, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, remember Paul, when he got called, he wasn't trying to be. What did he get? He got knocked off of his donkey, amen? Anybody been knocked off your donkey? You can go in your own jab, and all of a sudden, God got you over in the dirt, blinded eyes, you look out, what, Lord, who, what?
Amen.
And he says, follow me. What? He says, follow me, amen? But then as Paul started following, he started realizing his authority. He started realizing who he was in God. And God started pulling him away. See, and that's what the enemy is the most afraid of all of us. That we might hear the voice of God and God calling us away and say, pursue me. Seek me. Know my authority. Know who you are in me. Know my purpose for your life. See, that's why we're in a battle all day long, because the enemy does not want that. Who knows? One of us here could be the next Billy Graham. Wouldn't that be awesome? See, and the enemy's trying to stop that. And it doesn't matter what size our ministry is. What matters is it's the ministry that God has given us. It doesn't matter what it is. If you can say, man, God has called me to make sure the chairs are straight every week and greet people at the door, praise God. Serve Him wholeheartedly in that. If He's called you to sit at home and do nothing but prayer on your knees and get old camel knees at home and seek out and pursue Him on behalf of the church, then praise God and do that.
Hallelujah.
But don't limit it to one thing. Because see, Paul started here. And next thing you know, he wrote 2/3 of the Bible through the power of the Holy Spirit. He wasn't expecting all of that. All he knew was this. There was something that happened within him. And he pursued what had happened within him. But God so happened to know that. Isn't that wonderful?
Wonderful,
Amen. But he declares, who am I writing this? I'm writing on the authority of Jesus Christ, because I'm an apostle through the power of Jesus Christ by the will of God. See, you can't put apostle there necessarily, but you can put your name there. I am Dan, I am John, I am Bill of Jesus Christ by the will of God. God has willed to call you, or you wouldn't be here. There's a scripture that says, no man come to the Father unless what? The Spirit draws him. See, we didn't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to be holy and I'm going to serve God and I'm going to walk in this. No, one day you heard the Spirit of the Lord, whether you knew it was with that or not. And he said, you're a sinner. And you said, yes, I am. And then he said, would you accept my payment for your sin? And you said, yes. See, that right there was the voice of God. And if it stops right there, shame on us. But the voice of God is from that moment on, that's the beginning process of where God would lead us to. And it's up to us. See, we come here, we can turn this into whatever we want. Every time the Bible is open, it's up to us. What do I do with the Word of God? What do I do with the, not what I'm saying necessarily, but what God through the Spirit has breathed into my spirit, breathed into my soul. What did I hear from God and what did I apprehend and what did I pursue? You see what I'm saying? We all have that decision. And I've sat in church many times. I'm sure some of you have too. So, boy, I can't wait till this gets over. I got a game to go watch. You know, you probably weren't cleaning a lot at that point, right? But there's been times I sit in there and I go, man, that God is speaking right to me. And I heard the voice of God and I said, man, I'm leaving and I'm going to quit doing that when I get out of here. I'm leaving here and I'm going to put that, apply that to my life, you know. And that is what we all need. What is God giving us and what will we apply to our life? See, because this isn't just any old book. This is the Word of God. Hallelujah. People mock it, people laugh at it, people tear it down, people tell me it ain't real. People have all sorts of reasons why it's not the Word of God. But see, when I read it, I hear the voice of God. And I know it's the Word of God. Now, amen? And the crazy thing is, it's the number one bestseller of all time. Isn't that something else? See, God is never going to be outdone. Amen. Unfortunately, we probably got, you know, 3, 4, 8, 12, 15 of these laying around at home. Question is, are we reading them? Amen. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. Amen. I got two of this holding up a floppy table, one on each end, you see? But don't do that. I would not encourage that. Get something else. Amen. The Word of God, it's the Word of God. And when we read it, we got to say, hold on, that's the voice of God. That's the Word of God trying to speak into my life and change something. Trying to bring something to me in my miserable little wreck that I am right now, my special need that I need from God. He says, I have it for you. Will you crack it open? Will you drink from the well? He says, amen. Oh, that never runs dry. And he says here, continue in verse 1. He says, who's it written to? To the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. See, hopefully that's us. See? Well, who's the Bible to? Well, I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm trying to be faithful. That means it's to me. I wasn't in Ephesus, but it's to me. I'm a saint because I've accepted the shed blood of Jesus. And then he says, verse 2, I love this. This is what he says. Grace and peace to you. He's writing a letter from God to you. And he's saying, I'm declaring on behalf of God because I'm an apostle of God. I'm declaring the Father's grace and peace to you. Isn't that wonderful from God? Yeah, that's right. And when we read it like that, we say, wow, man, the Father is giving me grace and peace. You know, I just wanted to cuss that guy out. I just wanted to sock that person. I had this going on, and you're still going to give me grace? Lord, thank you for grace. See? Yes. Because we can't always overcome our heart. But God can overcome our heart. You, amen? And see, we don't earn salvation and we don't earn grace and peace. It comes freely from the Father. Wow. And is given to us because of His good will, which we might read that, and good desire. Amen? But He says to you, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next thing He says, now He goes, now all this came to me, now I want to bless God. See, that's what grace is supposed to do. It's supposed to bring us to a place where I want to bless God. Somebody comes up and gives you a gift, you want to do something back, right? You don't even feel worthy of the gift. What can I give you? I go to people's house for maintenance, especially Chaldean people. They love to give you stuff. And if you don't need it, they get all offended. It's like, oh my goodness. Happened to me yesterday. She didn't know. She's trying to give me tea, and I'm like, oh, I don't want no tea. I'm in a hurry. I got to go. She's an older lady. She ran in her fridge and got a block of cheese. She just wanted to give me something. And I'm like, oh my goodness, man. Yeah, bless you. Amen. Yes. When God gives us something, we want to give him something back. He's offering us grace and peace.
Bless you, Lord.
So he says, bless me back. Bless me back. Receive the gift, he says. And then he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, this is wonderful, too. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. When? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's when we got to be reminded, hey, I didn't schedule this. I didn't come up with this. One day God, from the beginning of time, looked down and said, that one's going to be mine. I'm going to redeem that one. That one's going to have a praise for me. That one's going to declare my name. And he's for all. It's not by accident any of us are in the church. It is by God's choosing. And you know, I don't know anybody else, but have you ever fought that? I fought that. And it didn't do me any good. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, or like that, reeling me in. I'm like, okay, get me in the jail cell. Like, okay, now do I got your attention? Yeah, okay. Charges are lined up. Now I got your attention. Okay, sorry, Lord. I didn't do half of that. He goes, yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to get your attention.
He got it.
Because he chooses. And you don't want to find yourself fighting against God. And how did he choose us? He said, from the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. And it goes on to say, not only has he chose us, but he has adopted us as sons. He having predestined us to adoption as sons. No longer foreigners. No longer, I hate to use the word, bastards. We're sons now. We've been adopted in. We're not on the outs. We've been grabbed from here. Boom. And it says, in the heavenlies. See? It says now, in reality, and you might have experienced in your life, but when you got saved, everything changed. And even if you tried to go back and put it back the way it was, it'll never be the same.
Wow.
It's been changed. Now we're heavenly beings. Now we're spirit beings. And when we're spirit beings and we're trying to walk with God in the flesh, it does not work. He wants to remind us, hold on, kid. You're no longer that. You used to be that. If you really, really want to be that, run like mad and try to get it. But you can't be that. Come under me. Recognize who you are. You are now seated in the heavenlies. We're Holy Spirit people from that moment forward. And the world will never be the same. It will never taste the same. It will never look the same. And it will never, never, ever satisfy. Speaking from experience, amen? It will never satisfy. He has adopted us as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. So what's getting the praise? His grace. Because it was freely given. So who gets the praise and the glory? Not us.
Lord.
Him.
Hallelujah.
Amen. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. See? He brought us close to the Father. He said, come up. Remember when you were a kid and you wanted to sit on Santa's lap, or you wanted to sit on your dad's lap, and you were trying to get room in there? That's what he did with it. He brought us up. He said, come up close. Sit right here. Come to know your Father, your spiritual Father, and know me intimately and know me close. I bring you close. See, and, you know, he's a king. And if you go back to the old times where they're kings, even still today, you don't just go into the king's presence. If you walk into the king's presence without permission, off the head, instantly. You even make a move, you know. They're going to chop your head off right then and there. Who are you? You came to the wrong place. But what he did through the scepter, the hand of Jesus, he reached out and he said, come close. Come know me. See, and we take that for granted sometimes. We all have done that, taken that for granted. And God says, it's time to quit taking that for granted. Know who we are and know what season we're in. We're in the last times. I mean, it's the America, as I forget, and I lost track after Trump got in office, $200 trillion or something in debt to our enemies. People that hate us. $200 trillion. Something like, I don't even know what it is. Could you ever imagine paying that debt off? You know what I'm saying? No, we're on the last verge. We're on the last verge. Yes. And you know, we take it granted for now, but it does talk about in the Bible a day's wage for a loaf of bread. Now, wouldn't that be terrible? Work all day long, probably 12-hour days, for a loaf of bread. See? And some people believe, well, that's after the rapture. And you know what? I don't want to get into that. But we don't know when it's going to happen. And they believe that people believe that the rapture is going to happen before the trials, and I hope that it does. But if it doesn't, and we fell asleep during our process, because, who cares? They're on their own. No, God has called us for a purpose. To be ready for the rapture is to be about the Father's business. That's what being ready for the rapture, being about the Father. Hey, God has granted us the good news. And he didn't give it so we could go over here and go in the corner and hide and say, oh man, I got the good news. This is good, God. Because if we were doing that, you know what he'd say? He'll go back out. Go back out. What are you doing up here so close? Get out there. I brought you close so you can go out. Amen? One of those. Never mind. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. See, it was his wisdom that brought it to us. Having made known to us the mystery, which is Christ crucified, that is the mystery, of his will, according to what? His good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth in him. What he's saying is he brought the Jews and the Gentiles together, and there's an end time. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all everything. He paid for all of creation. And they talk about in the book of Revelations, the scroll and the seven seals. And they say that the seven seals, the inside the scroll is the title deed to earth. And the scripture says, who is worthy to open this? And nobody could be found but Jesus. See, and then he opens the seals. And when he's opening the seals, he's releasing the end time. And that's what's going on. He's opening up so that he can pull out the scroll and say, see, I did it. I redeemed all of creation. And that's what he's talking about in the dispensation. That all is coming back. So that way, when he judges somebody to go to hell, he's going to be the righteous judge because he did it according to the plan. He did it according to God's will. And then when he judges, somebody say, hey, and the devil say, hey, you can't let him in. Do you see what he did? God says, but he received his payment for his sin. You see? So when he redeems, everything's been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus. Every animal, every creation, every created thing, every soul, every frog, every tree, everything he has the right to. And that's what's going to happen. And when that time comes, nobody can refute it. Because it's written right there in God's law. And it said, he even said, in the annals of the book, it is written of me. Amen? And he did the redemption plan according to the Father's. See? So he's saying, at that time, verse 11, in him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. That we who first trusted in Christ, who's that? Paul and the apostles and the disciples, that we who first trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory. They're going to give God praise and glory because they trusted first. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted. Now he's talking to the Ephesians, but he's also talking to you and I. That he's saying that we will be to the praise of His glory because we trusted also. But that's also for us to take it to the next people. Amen? In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also having believed, now this is the wonderful part, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, He didn't just leave us out here. He gave us something. He came and He bought us. And then He gave us a down payment, the Holy Spirit within us. And He said, I'll be back for that. See, I want you to know that I did not leave you here alone. I put a piece of me in you, the Holy Spirit that has sealed you. So the next time you're trying to sin and you're wrestling with yourself, man, I don't know. See, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the seal within you to say, man, I am His. What am I doing? You see, that's what is there. The Holy Spirit is there to keep us company, to be our comforter, to teach us of His ways. But it's also there to bring holiness, to bring truth, you see. And as we're living life and we're trying to go here and we're trying to go there, the Holy Spirit is there to wrestle with us. Hold on. Don't you know the Father loves you? Don't you know you've been given an inheritance? Don't you know I reside in here? You see? And then we can use that as, wow, I do have the Holy Spirit. I am sealed. Man, I'm going to make this fight. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to conquer myself. I'm going to be the man of God that God has called me to be. I'm not going to resist. Verse 14, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possessions. That's you and I. To the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, what does he say? He does not cease to give thanks for us. See, now Paul's doing that in the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can know that the Holy Spirit is also doing the same thing. Do not cease to give thanks for us, making mention of you in my prayers. Didn't it say Jesus interceding on behalf of us? And he'll use people, but he's also interceding on behalf of us. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, what is his desire for you? Wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's part of why the Holy Spirit is there. To give us wisdom. How do we get wisdom? The Word of God. To give us revelation. To give us understanding. What? In the knowledge of God. And then he goes on to say, he's still praying this, that the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened. That we might be enlightened to the truths of God. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, I don't know what God wants. He wants to reveal it to us. That's his plan. To reveal it to us. And if we're not, and if it's not being revealed to us, it's not because he's falling short. It's his will to reveal it to us. It's because we're not doing our steps. What is our steps? Obeying God. Obeying the voice of God, reading the Word of God, being fed by the Word of God, being excited by the Word of God. See, because the enemy always going to come along and bring in, oh, do you have to believe all that stuff? Come on, man. That's too much. What do you mean think about God all day? What do you mean live for God? What do you mean you have this or that? That's what the enemy would do. But the Holy Spirit, it's always pursuing the Word of God. If it's in the Word of God, believe me, the Holy Spirit is in line with it. And he's saying, yeah, that's good stuff. Let's do that. No, that's not cool, man. I don't want to do this. What did my friend think? No, no, that's what the Word of God said. Let's do that. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the seal. That the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us, the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is us, is living in us. Because this is what happened. When we accepted Jesus Christ, this flesh became dead. From that moment, it died. And the only thing that's keeping it alive is the Spirit of God within us. See? If we're running around in the church and we're unsatisfied and we're bored, and we're just like, that's kind of cool. It's not cool. I don't really care. I just want to do this. That's because we're trying to live in the flesh. See, but the Spirit would come to keep us alive. See, that's how you can tell where you're at on your walk. Am I bored? See, because God, there's nothing boring about God. He's the creator of all things. He just said, hey, boom, let there be a sun. There's a big old ball of fire. It's burning. What boring about that? Whoa, check that out. Remember? Moses is walking. There's a burning bush. Oh, check that out. See? See, we got to live on those encounters, you see? Because there's nothing boring about God. So if we're in the church and we're walking and we're just kind of ho-hum, passing to and fro, don't even really thinking about it, that tells us we're living in the wrong thing. We're living in the flesh that has a death sentence. And the only thing that's keeping it alive is the Holy Spirit. See, if you want to be excited about God, you got to be excited in the Spirit. And then the Spirit gets excited, and it pursues God, and it has an intimate relationship with God, and it's all fired up. And then in the flesh, you go, I guess I'm going along for this ride. You see? And that's how you want it. You want to drag that flesh wherever you go and just tell it to shut up. You can get me there. That's all you get. That's your job. Your job is to get me and the Holy Spirit over there so we can preach the gospel. That's its job. Oh, it's just, you can feed it and let it eat a little bit, sleep a little bit. But it's got a bad job. It's just there to be a vessel to carry the fire of God around, So that's what we have to judge. Well, where am I at? See, that's why we came here. It's a men's retreat. To be challenged in our faith. It's a men's retreat to come here and be fed in the Spirit so that we can leave here and say, you know what? I'm tired of that old stuff. I want God. I've tried this. I've tried sex. I've tried drugs. I've tried pornography. I've tried everything. I've tried cheating on my wife. I've tried all that. And it left me dry. There's only one thing left for us, man. It's God. Amen? Because all that stuff, it's bad. And I wasn't thinking, I've tried all that. I've done all that. I've never cheated on my wife since I've been married. He's a man of God. Isn't that wonderful? I wasn't declaring that. But see, this is the cool thing about it. God meets us where we're at. Says that's who you were, but that's no longer who you are. Make our decision. Who will? He said, if God be God, serve him. Amen. And now let's read chapter 2, verse 1. We'll read a couple of scriptures here and we'll quit. Verse 1. Because now he goes from there and he reminds us. Now this, I love this scripture. He reminds us. And you, he made alive. You were dead, but he made you alive. Who were dead in your trespasses and sins. He says this though, to the church. In which you once walked. See, that should be the norm. We once did that. According to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, see, it's a little s spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience. We don't want that spirit working in us. No. We don't want to be sons of disobedience. No. But he goes, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. That should be the norm right there. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. See, that should not be us anymore. Amen. See, we should be none of that. If we're struggling with that, come to the altar. Make a commitment. Make a faith cry out to God. I'm going to confess my sin. You don't have to tell somebody. Just come and pray before God and make a mention to God. He already knows. That's the wonderful thing. But there's nothing wrong with confessing to somebody either. I struggle with that. That's called accountability. That's the best way to be accountable. Find someone that you can trust. And if you're in sin, you can tell them. You know why? Because then the next time you go to sin, You're going to go, man, Johnny knows. I can't let Johnny down. I already told him. You see? That's what accountability is for. Yeah, amen. The Word of God. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. It is a miracle. Amen. By grace you have been saved. And what does He say? And raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. See, we're no longer spirit or fleshly beings. We're spiritual beings. We're in the spirit realm. It says we're in the heavenly places with Christ. See, and that's true. But that's a mindset that we have to have. And that's a whole nother message. Verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ. See, in the end, He's going to do that. He's going to hold us up. See these people? I redeem them. See, Satan, you tried to steal them? I redeem them. And I didn't trick them. I didn't deceive them. I didn't lie to them. I just laid my life down for them. And they received my grace. See, that's the trophy right there. See, the enemy's trying to deceive us. He's trying to trick us. He's a liar and a father of lies. But God is the Father of light. And He shines down from heaven. And there's no deceit in Him. And when we are raptured up, brought up at the end, after He's redeemed it all, we're going to be His trophy, His prize. See what I've done? And there's going to be joy in heaven. Amen? Yes. Think about that, man. Who we get to hang out with. Paul, David, all those guys. Wouldn't that be cool? Chopping it up with those guys. Man, remember Joshua? Oh, man, I was scared. No, you were bold. No, I was scared. You went right through there. Yeah, I know. Jesus was pushing me the whole way. But you made it. You go, yeah, I made it. And then you'll say, yeah, but you made it. Yeah, I know. I was scared too. I wanted to quit. He said, no, but you made it. Amen. That in the ages of verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through your faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Now, unfortunately, people twist this. Not of works. All right. Nothing I can do. I'm going to sit here in my pew. Don't mess with me, and I'll meet you on the other side. That's not what it's saying. There's plenty of works. Look around your church. Yeah, I'm sure you can see lots of works at your church that need to be done. Amen? Lots of works. Man, if we just had one more, if we just had five more, what we could do if we just had 10 more people and another $1,000. Amen? Because there's works. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying that you don't have to work for your salvation. You can give $1 billion and it's not going to earn you nothing. You can go to church all day long and do everything that you can. It's not going to earn you salvation. But it will earn you a reward in heaven, because there's rewards in heaven. And there's a work that He's given us. See, He didn't just say, here, take all that I got and go sit over in the corner. He said, here, take all that I got and use it for my kingdom. And then He even gave him the scriptures in the parable of the talents, remember? And the one had the one talent. He had eternal life, and he did nothing with it. He took it and he buried it. And when the king came back, he said, give me that. I'm giving it to somebody else, you see? There's works to be done in the kingdom. Don't ever be deceived. There's two different kinds of works. There's works of slaying animals and works to be righteous before God. And those slaying animals, it doesn't save us. There's only one thing that will save us. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. But there's plenty of works to be done. Lest anyone should boast. Verse 10. Now this is the key verse right here. Why is all that done? Because we are His workmanship. See, we're a work that He started. What are we? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, right before it said, not of works, but He says, hold on, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. See, if we want this or that, we don't mind going working for it. I want this, I'll do that, you want me, I'll do. But when it comes to the gospel, the church sometimes, you know,
I think the God said I don't have to do anything, plunk. You know?
But he said we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Yes. Which God prepared beforehand. Just like he predestined us before we were even born. And he said, I'm going to call that one. He also designed works for you to walk in. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, that's, you said, that was another thing you hit last night. It was about waiting on the Lord. See, what we do is we get in the church and we find a place to serve. What can I put my hands to? And somebody will come up and say, hey, man, we need someone to clean the bathroom. We need someone to mop this. We need someone to cook. Yeah, man, I'm here. I got nothing going on. Sure, I'll do it. And then that door opens. The next thing you know, you're in a ministry. And then as you're serving God there, another thing can open up. And another thing can open up. And at the same time, don't be crazy, because if you're just on the scene, they'll give you all the work. Ah, there's a guy. He's like Odie over there. I'll do it all. Don't do that. It'll burn you out. You'll be mad at the church. Amen. But wait on the Lord and let him open the doors and just serve God where you're at in whatever it may be. But know in your heart, man, the Spirit of God is telling me to do this, and I'm going to do it unto God, and I'm going to do it the best of my ability. I'm going to be faithful to it. And as God leads you, he'll lead you to something else, and he will lead you to something else. And maybe something will close and something will open. But we got to know this right here. He said in his Bible, the Word of God told me, I've been created for his good works, that I can walk in what he has already designed. You know what it does? It takes the pressure off. I'm just doing what God called me to do. He told me to do this, I'm going to do this. And then somebody cuts you out, you say, it don't matter, I'm just serving my God, right? Somebody gets all mad, it doesn't matter, I'm just serving God. Sorry you're upset, I love you, you know? Amen. Let's bow our heads real quick, Father God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be men. We thank you that you've called us to the gospel. We thank you that you've called us to your perfect promise and your will, Lord God. It's your desire, your things, Lord God. We are just servants. That's what you've called us to be. So I pray right now by faith, Lord God, that you would just speak into all of our hearts, Lord God. That you would reveal things to us that we need. Lord, that you would show us where we've been lagging, Lord God, where we've been messing around, where we've been playing church, where we've been thinking the wrong stuff, Lord God. You would show us what's hindering our faith from growing, Lord God. So I believe that everyone is here in faith. They desire you, Lord. We desire you, Father God. And sometimes we don't know what to do. But you know what to do. And you know how to get out of us, Lord God, your perfect will, Lord God. So I pray, Lord God, that the Spirit of truth would just prevail and would minister. And that this word would not just stop here, Lord, but as we go from this place, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, Lord God. That you would bring change. That we could go home and be good men of God. Good husbands of our wives, Lord God. Good elders in the church, Lord God. Walking, Lord God, in your perfect will, Lord. It said that we are your workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which you, Father, have prepared beforehand. Help us to walk in them. In the name of Jesus. If anybody just like to raise their hand to God and say, yeah, God, that's me. I need a little help. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We all do, Lord God. So you see those hands, Lord God. And we know that you love us in authority and power. And you knew who we were before you got involved with us, Lord God. And you still pulled us out. And you said, I put a yes in that one. Use us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You want to sing a song, bro? On my Bible. Hey, whose phone is this? Anybody missing a phone?
That's the recorder.
Oh!
oh, I grabbed the thing. It was my phone.
Was it? You left it up there while you were speaking.
It was up there. I grabbed it when I left. Yeah.
No worries. No worries. I got it.